Hey guys, welcome back to Game of Thrones Weekly. My name is Amber Plaster, and this week we are discussing the only lady left standing, Sansa Stark.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin!
The song is still powerful, even after hearing it every week. I just love this intro music. Welcome back, guys. It has been it's been a long time since there's been a new episode of Game of Thrones, and it's only been a few weeks. So we are here to get you through that time. My name is Amber Plaster. You can follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Amber Plaster. I love hearing your guys' theories. I love hearing feedback on the show. We always want to try to make the show better, so please hit me up on all the social media if you're enjoying Game of Thrones Weekly. We discuss a different topic every Sunday at 7 p.m. If you want to join us live on the YouTube channel, you're more than welcome to do that. We have a live chat. I will be trying to look at the live chat as I'm doing this today. I am solo today, so for those of you listening on the podcast, you can subscribe and like us on iTunes and catch up on all of the episodes there. So let's dive into today's episode, which is actually going to be kind of covering, I don't want to say one of my favorite characters, but one of the most misunderstood characters on Game of Thrones, Sansa Stark. I feel that a lot of people don't realize that they hate her. And I want to get into it. I want to get into it because when I originally read the books, I had a lot of disdain for this character. And it's been really interesting to see her grow, especially on the TV show. And I know that we try to keep this podcast TV specific. But for those of you who did read the books, I really did enjoy learning about Sansa and kind of getting into the head of Sansa when she was at Winterfell as a teenager. And all she really, really wanted to do was be a pretty, pretty princess. I mean, it helped me understand her more for the TV show, because I know a lot of people on the show just kind of view her as a brat. And I am exploring that today. There's a lot that I want to cover. So, but first I do want to cover a few little bits of information with you guys so that we cover all of our bases here. Before we dive into today's show, I want to remind you guys about some exciting changes that we're having on our network. You may have noticed that Game of Thrones Weekly is airing on a brand new YouTube channel. That's because we're catering content to match your wants and needs. So now all of our shows will air on content-specific channels. Since you're a fan of the show, all of the content on our channel, which is actually going to be called the AfterBuzz TV Sci-Fi, Fantasy, and Superhero Channel. So if you're into stuff like that, should be right up your alley. So hit the subscribe button to that right now if you're watching us on YouTube Live. And if you're listening on iTunes, you might want to check out our YouTube channel, because you'll get to see our faces. And if you enjoy driving and just listening to us, that's okay too. But we do have 9 new content catered YouTube channels. Each is devoted to a specific genre. And you can find each of those on the homepage of this channel. So just subscribe to the ones that you're feeling. And you can basically let us know what you think on all social media platforms at AfterBuzz TV. So let's jump into a little bit about Sansa. First, I'm going to cover the recap and the highlights of Sansa, the character. I feel like most people are pretty familiar with this character. And then I'm going to go into my favorite things about Sansa. And then I'm going to go into why people hate her. And then we're going to end with some news. So stick around. So Sansa is... She's one of the Stark children who, ironically, was placed with a direwolf. If you remember back to season 1, each child in Winterfell came, Rob and Jon, I believe, came across the direwolves, and they brought them back, and each child from Winterfell got a direwolf, and Sansa's ended up being named Lady, which I think is very appropriate because she is a lady. And I've always been fascinated by the animal connection in Game of Thrones. You know, how Dany has a relationship with her dragons. Jon has a relationship with Ghost, even though Ghost doesn't make noise. It's just really interesting that when the Stark children seem to lose or get damaged, their direwolf gets lost or hurt or killed, they soon after do not do well. And so I think very early on, I thought that Sansa was going to die because Lady got killed so early on the season. Not only did she get killed, but Sansa got held pretty much hostage in King's Landing for most of her teenage years. And so she kind of, I don't want to say that she didn't grow up a Stark, but I wonder if that connection with a direwolf and that kind of magical protection that the direwolf had and that connection with each Stark child had, like especially if we saw with Summer and Bran, Summer had a huge role in protecting Bran throughout his childhood. She was held captive, and so she kind of learned very quickly how to be a Lannister. And something that's really cool about Sansa is she is easily one of the softest characters, I think, written on the show. And yet she doesn't learn from the people that she loves. She learns from the people that she hates. And she survives the people that she hates. I mean, better probably than I could. Somehow I still don't like her character. I don't want to be Sansa when I grow up, you know? I think Arya is so cool, and as soon as I read Arya's chapters in the books, I just, like, immediately clung to this character. But I gotta give Sansa some credit, and I was kind of hesitant to do this character because I get so passionate about the characters that are really cool, and Sansa's just not cool. She's kind of annoying, you know? And I think that a lot of people don't give her the credit that she's due. So let's cover a few things about Sansa that I thought was interesting about her growing up. She was held hostage by a very hostile family in King's Landing. She was forced to watch the beheading of her father, which is not something to be taken lightly, especially for somebody who is written as a very naive, soft character. She actually was very nearly raped in the books by the Hound. She was forced into a marriage that she didn't know. She was, even though that Tyrion was very a charming character and everything, like, he was much older than her, and Tyrion was still a part of the family that killed her father. So she was forced to marry him as a child. And at the Purple Wedding, she has to watch the performance of how her brother died, and she still remains calm in front of Joffrey and everyone else there. So she manages to play it cool more than I think I've been giving her credit for, and more than I think most people give her credit for. I don't know that I could pull off the level of cool demeanor that Sansa can do while people are mocking the death of her brother and her father in court, which... In court, I didn't think about this before. All Sansa has ever wanted to do is be a lady, be basically, you know, a queen, or be somebody worthy of politics and ruling and things like that. She, everything that is polite and is historical and is of tradition matters to her. So when you embarrass Sansa in her court or in the court of King's Landing or even Winterfell later on, that's going to hit her twice as hard. She really, really cares. Arya doesn't care. Sansa actually cares about the people in Westeros because she's been groomed for this her entire life. So when she gets humiliated in the court by Joffrey, this was somebody she was previously in love with, and now not only is she being humiliated and abused by somebody she was in love with, you know, albeit stupidly, because he's actually the worst, it was in front of everyone. And I didn't realize how much of an impact that would have on her. But I think what's interesting is that even though all of those things happened to her, she's still a pretty sound ruler by the end of season 7. And I know that a lot of people think that she betrayed Jon at the Battle of the Bastards, but I disagree. I think that Sansa just... I think she didn't know. She didn't know if Littlefinger was going to show up with the Vale Army. She didn't know for sure. And I think it was better to just hold back than to give out hope And also, she's still really young. Maybe I'm just making excuses for her now. I don't know. All right, let's go into my favorite things about Sansa. And I would be really interested to hear your favorite things about Sansa, because I got to be honest, I do watch a lot of fan theories, and I listen to a lot of podcasts on Game of Thrones because I enjoy it. I really truly enjoy the series. And I got to say, every time Sansa's on screen, I see a really negative comment about her being bratty or boring or dumb. And just people like wishing she would die. And I know that that happens for a lot of characters, but it just seems really, really unfair for everything that she's had to go through thus far. And I know that we were all nervous at the end of season 7 when it looked like Littlefinger was going to turn the siblings of Winterfell against each other. And everyone was like, Sansa, no, don't send Brienne away. And I really did hold out hope that she was doing so knowingly. But I gotta say, they got me. I didn't trust Sansa. I didn't. I was with you guys. I was like, oh man, is she gonna make a stupid mistake? Does she really not know her sister wouldn't hurt her? Her sister would never hurt her. But it's hard with her because I think she comes from so much privilege and she was so naive that we don't forgive that. But anyway, let's go into my favorite things about Cersei. about Sansa. When Cersei has locked Sansa and the other chambermaids during the attack of King's Landing, she frightens Sansa by telling her like exactly what's going to happen to her when the doors open. And what does that little lemon cake do? She starts singing because other people are scared. So Cersei is over here drunk and trying to scare everyone, basically just going mad. And Sansa's like, you know what? I got to be a leader in this situation. I don't have any weapons. I don't have any superpowers. Look at me. I'm not the three-eyed raven, but I can make this room feel a little bit better for right now. And to me, that is an incredible trait that I myself do not have. I would have never thought to do that. And who knows how meaningful that was. But to me, that's a sign of a real leader. And I think that it even is more meaningful that she does have no superpowers. She has no dragons. She has no red woman helping her. There's no coming back from the dead for Sansa. She isn't the three-eyed raven like her brother. She isn't in cahoots with the faceless men like her sister. She just has to have incredible survival skills and wit that gets sharpened by every villain that she has to live with, which happen to be a lot of them. Yeah, let's see. Cersei was dealt a pretty hard hand at life as well. I do really enjoy Cersei as a character. I think she's a great villain. But Cersei has chosen to become hardened by her life experiences, even though she loves her children. Sansa, throughout every single season, and I would argue maybe not season 7, where she fully gets rid of Littlefinger, but she does retain her inner goodness and tries to be polite and courteous to people in the court when she can afford to be. And that's something that Cersei never had any interest in. And I find that very interesting because Sansa's had to handle a lot of like really, I don't want to say evil, but really dark, nasty characters. And it's just like seeing her contrast to that, it almost makes her seem like the most like ridiculous character because she is so soft and she is so proper that you don't think that she can handle it. And maybe her superpower is that she's underestimated. I certainly underestimated her. I mean, she slapped that little babysitter's nightmare, little Robin in the Vale, when he was getting out of control. Like, I would have never seen that coming. There are a few moments where she actually stands up for herself, and I think every single time that happens, we're not only shocked, but we're kind of like, it's a little too late. Like, it's a little too little, a little too late, because so many other characters are making big, bold moves in the story that we're kind of used to, like, seeing Arya kick ass, and we're seeing Jon, like, you know, climb mountains and come back from incredible death time after time again. But we don't really get to see Sansa do very much. So when she has these little victories, these little political victories, or these little self-confidence wins, they don't seem like anything compared to the rest of the characters. But they are. They're huge. She could have definitely gotten killed for slapping Robin. She could have definitely got killed when Joffrey takes Sansa out at the beginning of the series to see the severed head of her father. And he says something to the extent of, "Oh, there's your father's head. And I, for your wedding gift, I'm going to bring you your brother's head too." And she just bit her tongue. And then she was like, "You know what? Nah, nah." She was like, "Yeah, or how about he brings me your head instead?" She could have gotten killed for that immediately. But she chose her words so carefully because she knew that he wasn't yet king and he couldn't do anything yet. And it's moments like there that I'm like, she's learning. She's picking up on stuff. Also, one of my favorite Sansa moments has to be when she fed Ramsay to his dogs. I mean, not only has Sansa like dealt with Littlefinger, who is kind of a villain in his own, Cersei, she's also dealt with Ramsay, who is probably arguably one of the most nasty characters on Game of Thrones. I can't think of anybody more evil than Ramsay off the top of my head. I mean, he was like a wild dog that he ended up feeding people to that ended up eating him as well. So I think it was very fitting. And I think that I wish that Jon had listened to Sansa at the Battle of the Bastards when she said, "You don't know him. You don't know him. I know him. Don't," like, not the extent of don't trust him, because you already didn't trust him, but she was like, "He's more twisted than you can ever, like, wrap your mind around." And he was like, yeah, I've seen war before. And she was like, I don't think Rickon's gonna live. I don't think he's gonna make it. Like, and I didn't either. I didn't believe him. And I think it's very interesting, as naive as that character is, that she's managed to take in and study so many powerful people in Westeros and still somehow survive. Let's go into why everyone hates Sansa, because let me tell you, there's a lot of hate on the internet, and you guys, there's just a lot of it. Like, I just literally went through so many videos and was just like pulling out like comments on why people hate this character. And I was talking to somebody earlier today, telling them that I was going to do a character expose on Sansa Stark. And they were like, "Oh, she's cool." And I was like, "Oh, what do you like about her?" And she was like, they were like, "Oh, she's a Stark." "Oh, is that all?" "Yeah, so she's related to Jon. That's why you like her?" Okay. So it was just interesting to see, like, even the love for her isn't very strong. And then I said something like, "Yeah, like, everyone hates her." And they're like, "What? No, they don't. She's a Stark." And I was like, yeah. People think she's pretty annoying. And they're like, "Oh, they do?" So it's interesting. I'm seeing like two very different parties regarding Sansa. And yeah, man, I understand both. I'm torn, you guys. I don't know where I land on this. I think I land slightly pro Sansa, but I got to tell you, when I was reading the books, I every time I got to Sansa's character, I just wanted to throw the books out the window. I couldn't stand her. I couldn't do it. You know, we see her at the very beginning of season one of Game of Thrones, pretty much begging Catelyn, her mother. She says, she's begging her mother to marry Joffrey. She's like, "Please, please, marrying Joffrey in becoming queen is the only thing I've ever wanted." And you're just like, "Ugh, like, kill me. No, what are you doing? What are you doing? First of all, you're 14 tops. What are you doing? Please let me marry this guy and become queen." Also, your parents, who know things because they're king and queen of Winterfell, have told you that, like, the Lannisters are not to be trusted. So what makes you think, you know what? It's fine. She was a kid. We're all going to forgive her for it. Anyway, I did not like that moment either. People don't like Sansa because she's naive, but they really don't like Sansa because Jon doesn't listen to her very much. And Jon is everyone's favorite character. And I kind of don't like that. And it's kind of obvious when it happens, because it happens just about every episode. It'll be like Jon and Sansa. Well, not every episode. Every episode they're together, especially in season 7, where they disagree. And Sansa will stand up for herself and she'll be like, "Hey, you know, I disagree with what you're saying, and maybe you should listen to me." And everyone starts rolling their eyes because Jon's irritated and they love Jon. So I can't say that I love that, but you know what, guys? She does cry a lot. She cries a lot, probably more than any other character in Game of Thrones. So there's a lot of judgment around the vulnerability of Sansa, and she is viewed as quite bratty in the early seasons. Even when Arya kills a boy, we're still rooting for her. But Sansa starts crying because her date with her potential suitor, who we all know is awful, Joffrey, got cut short. She starts crying because she's like, oh man, like maybe my sister messed this up for this guy that I think is cute, that she didn't really know anything about at the time, pre-lady dying. She didn't quite know. She cries about it and people just tore her apart for that. You know, they don't like seeing Sansa scream for mercy or cry. And when she openly grieves her father, I'm not feeling a lot of sympathy for her. And I can't place why that is, but I feel it so strongly. And maybe it's just because everyone else on the show is such a badass and so strong that we just have no patience for softness. We have no patience for open femininity and a soft heart. I don't know. But, you know, in season 7, she does make her point that while she isn't saying that Winterfell should execute the families of the North that betrayed her house, she does point out that it might not be smart to allow vital pieces of land be controlled by people they don't really know and maybe have grudges against them. And she points out that the one decision maker is that Jon is trying to give the land to at the end of season 7 is literally a child. And she points out that not everyone is as logically sound as Lyanna Mormont, because that little 10-year-old is amazing. But not every kid who kind of came into power of their house because their parents were slaughtered knows what to do with that land. And they're not necessarily to be trusted either. And that was a really good point. And everyone was just complaining about that. They were like, Sansa, sit down. No, just no. But I think secretly, Jon knew that she would voice her opinion when it was needed, like a leader. And I think that's why he left Winterfell in her hands. I think that he knew, even though that she annoyed him to a certain extent, that she wouldn't just be demure and keep quiet, that she would actually rule Winterfell. And that is one of the things about Sansa that sticks out to me more than any other character, is Sansa is actually not playing the Game of Thrones. She doesn't want the Iron Throne. She wants Winterfell, and she will protect Winterfell every single time. And that's something pretty special. I'm going to be talking about a little bit about the last lady standing and how love and family makes you weak. But first, I want to go into our sponsor for this week. Our sponsors are how we kind of keep the lights on here, so bear with me as I go through and talk about all the little neat deals that we got going on here. So our sponsor for this week is tryaudiobooks.com. Book clubs are back in action, and so are many other fall activities. Audiobooks are the perfect complement to your busy schedule, since you can listen while you do other things. I like to listen to podcasts while I drive, and I drive a lot here in Los Angeles, so I don't have a book club. I feel like this is our book club, but I'm very open to joining a book club. And I am a huge fan of audiobooks because you can get so many books, not read, but done more when you listen to them. So if you're looking for a new book club pick, try the audiobook version. You can listen to new releases such as My Absolute Darling, which is a debut novel that's been getting rave reviews, or The Girl Who Takes an Eye for an Eye, which is the newest book in the Elizabeth Salander book. So The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, it's the new book from that, which is an incredible series. It's pretty metal, if you guys haven't checked it out. And you can enjoy a whole new book club experience. So visit tryaudiobooks.com/podcast for book club suggestions, discussion questions, which are always good because when you're in a book club, the leader always kind of has to decide the questions. So they kind of take care of that for you. And you also get a free full download of an audiobook for your entire book club to listen to. So that is tryaudiobooks.com/podcast. Check that out. Well, let's jump back into this. Let's talk about a little bit more about Sansa. And let's see. Oh, I'm just going to check on the chat here. Oh, we have some people in the chat saying that we love her too. And we have a lot of people in the chat saying that they love Cersei. I understand the love for Cersei. She's such an incredibly complex character. I gotta say, you know, I want to do an expose on Cersei. I just feel like I don't know the ending of her story yet. I just don't know where she's going. I'm so fascinated by her. Speaking of Cersei, so Cersei originally had a dream that a younger, more beautiful queen would actually rule one day. And a lot of people kind of thought that that might be Margaery, and maybe Cersei originally thought that might be Margaery, but we have to remember that Cersei had been getting that prophecy wrong for a kind of a long time. She'd never quite got that dream right. I believe that Sansa could be that younger, more beautiful queen that takes over. I don't know if it will be for the Iron Throne or if it will be for just simply the North, but Sansa did learn a lot directly from Cersei when she was with her, and she towed the line just perfectly enough to not get too damaged by her while she was there and survive. But she actually learned a lot of tactics from Cersei while she was there and could very much handle herself in a similar situation. So she is pretty much the last lady standing in Winterfell, which I think is interesting because even though there are other feminine characters like Daenerys and Cersei, Sansa's really the only highborn, polite, courteous, lady, soft, feminine character that I'm really seeing left standing in any position of power. And I think that's really unique. And I think that she's there for a reason. I just can't put my finger on it. I don't know what it is. And if you guys have theories on exactly why she's being kept so soft and so feminine and so good and for the people, I would love to hear it because she sticks out to me and she doesn't quite work in the story for me. Everyone kind of becomes hardened in Game of Thrones, and yet she's still her. It's really interesting to me. A lot of viewers don't take Sansa seriously because she was raised highborn with pretty songs and stories in her head about kings and queens. However, do you think it's possible that it's even more admirable that she has survived having come from such soft beginnings? I think so, and I didn't originally think so when I was reading the books, and I'm kind of coming back around to this, that she is somebody to watch. She's somebody to root for, and I guess also she is annoying. She doesn't share information as quickly as she should, and she doubts her siblings and trusts too many people, you know? But she can still be annoying. Can she still be annoying and still be worth rooting for in the series? I think she is. I think it's possible. And basically, the bottom line that I discovered when I was reading about Sansa is, you know, she was a pawn in King's Landing from keeping Jon and Robb and Ned, I guess, to an extent, from defeating the Lannister forces so quickly. She was basically being held as a reason for that. So because they loved her, they pretty much were put in a position of weakness and died. So she saw that firsthand, that love for family and friends and loyalty gets the people that you love hurt or compromised. And she still chooses love. She still chooses to be kind to people when she can afford to, and she still chooses to be good on her word, even though she's seen firsthand what love can do to someone in Game of Thrones, where being soft and nice is never rewarded, pretty much. I mean, the case against love is pretty strong in Game of Thrones. Love and family make you weak. It does. But, I mean, the bottom line is that, is the story worth including love? Is the story worth including the risk of having loved ones kept around you and nurtured? Is it worth that? Is it worth the risk? Because Tywin Lannister was smart and almost completely, I would say completely void of love. I mean, sure, he cared for his offspring, but it was more of an ego thing. He was definitely one of the smartest, least loving characters on the show, and everyone thought that he would do really, really well, and he died on a toilet. So I don't know. it would be really interesting to hear if you guys think that retaining this love for family members, even though it makes Sansa weak, I think it also makes her strong, because it's how she survived the Purple Wedding, when she saved Ser Dantos' life, and then in turn, he helped her escape the Purple Wedding. So I think the weapons that Sansa chooses to use to play the Game of Thrones is incredibly unique. I think it's unlike any other character in the show, and I think it's worth rooting for, even though she gets a little annoying. Yeah. Anyway, I want to cover a little bit of news with you guys before we go, if you're ready for some Game of Thrones news. we will be talking about Game of Thrones for a while here, because we are doing Game of Thrones weekly until the new season begins, and then we'll do our normal roundtable of hosts discussing Game of Thrones like we do on Sundays. So I have some bad news and I have some good news. I'm going to tell you the bad news first. Are you ready? Okay. Game of Thrones is very likely to return in 2019, not 2018. Yeah, that is 2 years from now. 24 months, you guys. 24 months. That is 730 days. I don't know if I can wait 2 years, but here's the thing. Liam Cunningham, who plays Ser Davos Seaworth, which we talked about in our last episode with me as your host, he told TV Guide that the episodes are definitely going to be bigger and longer. They're going to be like pretty much like little feature films, almost, per episode. So they're filming right up until the summer that it airs. So when you think about it, up until last season, they had 6 months to do 10 episodes. So they're doing way more than that for six episodes. So they are taking the time that they need. And I know that HBO will always take the time that they need to film their episodes. But 2019, guys, we're going to need another book. We're going to need something. But in good news, we found out that Kit Harington and Rose Leslie are getting married. That is the actors that play Ygritte and Jon Snow, which is adorable that they're getting married in real life. So in addition to filming the show, this show will be further delayed by the good news. But I'm okay with that. I'm okay with Ygritte and John finally getting together in real life, because that makes my soul and heart happy. But if it could not delay the show, that would be pretty great. And I'm sure you guys agree. Thank you guys so much for joining me on this episode. It was a pretty in-depth one for this character. Somebody who I'm still not convinced is even one of my favorite characters, which is why I wanted to do it, and I wanted to talk it out with you guys. So I always appreciate your guys' comments, and thank you guys so much for being here. We will be back next week, Sunday at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, or you can catch the replay on iTunes or AfterBuzz TV's YouTube channel. And you guys can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at AmberPlaster. And that's pretty much it. I will see you guys next time.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.